We all get it. Postpartum and the years after having a baby is no walk in the park. But you know what? It isn't just about depression or anxiety either. Hey, my friend, I'm Miranda Bauer, homesteading mama with four wild kids, whose life passion and education is all about supporting mothers and providers and understanding the science, the art, and the sacredness of healing after birth. What we know as common sense in the postpartum years has many women feeling just plain awful. It's time to bring back the truth, get you the tools you need to heal, and thrive in motherhood and beyond. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the podcast. You are in for a very special treat. Recently, I had the privilege of interviewing seven incredible women. And I'm going to be sharing with you these interviews over the next several podcasts. And this was actually an interview series that we did when we had our Nourishing Postpartum Retreat, which happened this last September, and an effort to launch our brand new Postpartum University. So you're seeing all of the transition happening on our podcast and on our Instagram and all of the things. And to bring that transition and just to really celebrate that, we had these incredible speakers join us for the Nourishing Postpartum Retreat. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and share with you this retreat interviewee and enjoy. Welcome to the Nourishing Postpartum Retreat video series. We are here bringing you another interview titled Desire Versus Fear. This is a big one, y'all. Monique Cowan is the one we are interviewing today, and she is a birth and postpartum doula and a lactation educator. She's been doing this work since 2001, before she's even heard about the word doula. And she's been mothering mothers and supporting families in the years since. Monique's mission is really to help mothers understand and connect them with their own innate and inalienable power and to birth and parent from that place. There is so much power and love that shines through in this interview. And you're going to really feel that as you are listening in. Her passion is truly supporting her clients holistically and bringing the whole family in so that birth and postpartum is full of love and joy and power. And that's the norm, not the exception. So as you're listening into this, you can expect to learn about connecting mothers to their true desires so that they have better birth and health outcomes, addressing fears in childbirth, the differences between normal and abnormal stress and how that shapes their experiences, and how you can support your clients in making the best decisions for themselves and for their families. So as you're listening into this, I really want you to take into consideration, how are you connecting your clients to their truest desires? And are you connecting them to their truest desires or the avoidance of their fears? Enjoy this interview and can't wait to hear your thoughts in the Postpartum Circle group. Hello, everyone. Welcome. I have been looking forward to this conversation all week. Here today, we have Monique Cowan, and she is a birth and postpartum doula, and her passion is so evident in the work that you do, Monique. It's incredible. I've been watching you and following you on social media. How did you come to do the work that you are doing in the world?
Well, actually, I became a doula 10 years ago. My daughter's 10 and a half. And so I started being a doula when I had her because I was terrified of giving birth, super terrified, didn't want to do it. And I was like, okay, well, we're here. So how do I do this in the most pain-free way possible? Did a bunch of research, found out about doulas. I hired a doula. She was friggin' amazing. And after our time together, I was like, I want to do this. And so during my time, you know, as a doula, most of what I have been dealing with mamas and families alike have been surrounded really about fear and anxiety about what the process is, especially if they're going into a hospital. Over this last 2 years, I've worked with the Los Angeles County Department of Health with an initiative that has been trying to close the gap between Black women and other women in this country in the maternal mortality rates. And so, I mean, it's an awesome initiative and, you know, it was awesome working with them, but coming from that place of fear has been a challenge. And so right now, what I really, really, really love doing is helping mothers come from that place of love and joy and power that they innately have. And so that fear is not even a part of the equation when they're talking about their birth plan and what they want and all that other stuff that goes into birthing.
I love that you bring all of this up. And I what I've noticed about you is that you're holding space for your clients and connecting them to what is their true desires, right?
Absolutely.
And supporting them from this place. How do you help your clients find these true desires? Because we often hear things like, well, I just want a healthy baby, or I just don't want to die, right? And
yes.
The other part of this is, you know, the other question to this is, how do you offer that non-judgmental, full heart support that they deserve after helping them connect into these true desires?
Well, first, it started with me, right? So I had to get into a place. So I have wonderful teachers and mentors. I'm going to give them a quick shout out. Richard and Namaste Moore, who I work with, who are my mentors. But going through some of their programs, I learned how to really tap into the things that I want when it comes to everything, literally everything, from my parenting to just the way that I live my life. And we all know what we don't want, right? That's usually kind of the space where we come from in our society. That's what, you know, that's what they give us. If you watch the news or you're on the internet or you're anything, it's all about what you don't want, you know. You're not going to do this to me. I have to set this boundary simply because it's just stuff that I don't want. And we're very reactionary about what we do instead of being proactive. And so I had to learn, what do I actually want without saying I don't want this? So for instance, if you are creating a birth plan and you say, okay, I would like to have a all natural birth. I tend to say unmedicated because all birth is natural unless the baby's coming out your forehead, right? So I want to have an unmedicated birth. Awesome. What we don't want, we're going to stop there. We're not going to say, I want an unmedicated birth because I don't want my baby to be drowsy when they're born. I don't want to have any side effects. Got you. Cool. We know that. And so it really comes down to how you want to feel. What is your ideal feeling? What do you want to be surrounded by? What's the atmosphere that you want? I even do that when it comes to interviewing clients for hiring me. Why do you want a doula? For what? Why do you want me as a doula? Because I want to work with people who really, really want to work with me, that it lights them up, that it gives them joy. I want you to know, I want you to feel that the support of a doula, the support of any support person, is something that gives you joy. So we talk about, who do you want in your birthing room? You know, yes, sometimes it is expected that, you know, the closest people to you are going to be in there. Does that light you up? Do you really want that? Is that what you really, when you envision that, does it stress you out or does it give you joy? Right. And so I also work with family. So we all work together and we all do this and we write stuff down and we go through stuff. And sometimes stuff is a little tough. I'm not a counselor by any means. So if there are things that are super deep, that, you know, we can't, then I refer out, of course, but usually we can tend to work with some things and we want to get to a place of joy and delight.
This is like, I hear your joy and delight just having this conversation, right? Like, I absolutely love and appreciate the energy that you're bringing behind this and really addressing this and speaking from a place of, like, not only are you seeking this information from your client, but you're also being the person who is, like, you're leading the way. You're showing them this is how it's done, right? Like, you're setting the example behind what it is that you're doing. And so much of what I'm hearing from you is, like, you know, our truest desires are not our biggest fears, and helping them recognize like the difference between the two. And you brought up some really great points. Our society is based on fear. Everything that we do is in fear. We see it in the media. We see it in our school systems. And we have a really good reason to feel afraid in childbirth, especially as women of color. And can we just, like, take a second to address this disparity and this role of fear and how it impacts the actual labor and birth? Like, why is it that we don't want this to be a part of our experiences?
Right. So stress and stress hormones, first of all, are the antithesis of labor, right? So labor begins and flows with the hormone oxytocin. And so that's the love hormone, that's the hug hormone, that's also the contraction hormone. It's the hormone that causes, you know, the cramps in during your period and all that other stuff. It contracts the muscles, but it helps get the baby out, right? And so we use that hormone and we want more of it. So that's another reason why who you have around you, where you are giving birth, absolutely matters. It doesn't just matter that the baby is healthy, because having stress, a lot of stress during your labor, can end up in adverse birth outcomes. And so if you truly want a healthy baby, if you want to be healthy after you give birth, then stress and anxiety and fear and all of these things, you have to find a way to bring those to a minimum. Understanding that you can't always plan for what happens, right? Sometimes things go way to the left of what's normal and what's typical. And, you know, you end up sometimes in a place that you didn't plan for. You might end up with a cesarean because of whatever the case is. However, your mindset going into it absolutely matters. There was a study that was done, and I found this on Evidence-Based Birth, that said that even women who had planned for, had planned for a vaginal birth, if their mindset was a certain way, if their mindset was not based in fear or coercion or anxiety or any of that, they had a positive outlook on their birthing experience, even if they had to have a cesarean, or even if they ended up having to be induced or something that they didn't plan for, didn't want in the beginning. So your mindset is, it literally is everything. Also, stress during labor can mean delayed lactogenesis. Lactogenesis is the copious milk supply, meaning, you know, in the beginning, you have colostrum, and it's just a little bit for, like, that first couple of days. If you have a lot of stress during labor, having the white milk show up, that takes longer. And if that takes longer, that's when we see mothers saying, oh, my milk never came in. My milk dried up. I can't breastfeed. Doesn't mean that you can't. It just means it's going to take longer. But when it takes longer, what happens? You stress out about it. And when you stress out about it, it's a whole cycle. It's a whole cycle, folks. So we want to keep the stress to a minimum. And that's not to say there is absolutely no stress in labor. That's false, of course. But there is a difference between the low stress of, oh God, I'm having a baby, it's happening right now, and the high stress of, I'm afraid I'm going to die. I'm afraid I'm going to be mistreated. I'm afraid that, you know, people think that I feel less pain, which is something that we've seen as far as the studies about Black women. I'm afraid that people are not going to listen to me when I tell them that this is happening and they're going to, you know, dismiss it. So that stress versus I don't know what's going to happen because I'm having a baby is two totally different things.
And I'm so glad that you bring up the difference between these two stress points, right? Because one is, you know, no matter how many babies you've had, there is always this level of stress of this unknowing that we're going to be entering into childbirth and what's going to happen, because we know our babies have their own stories of a birth, just as we have our own stories, right? And so looking at the differences between these two and recognizing that one is a very normal biological innate response that we have. And then we have this other elephant in the room, multiple elephants in the room, right? Like they take up a lot of space in childbirth. And one of the things that we can do is truly support women in understanding their level of like what it is that they're truly desiring and connecting them in their feelings. So I'm so grateful that you are doing this work. And I'm wondering, you know, not all of us who are listening in are providers who are doulas or are providers who are midwives in this space, or, you know, some of us are coaches who work with women after having a baby. We're pelvic floor physical therapists, right? Or counselors. How as providers can we do better here to really support and improve health outcomes, especially of those who are not necessarily in the birth room?
Right. So first, listening. I mean, that's just, it should go without saying, but it doesn't. And so, because I think we all, and I had the privilege to go to the University of Southern California, their medical students, their OB medical students, their first and second years, actually volunteered to have kind of a seminar to get trained by doulas and midwives about what we do, so that they can better understand, you know, how they can treat their patients, which is amazing. So, you know, we do have providers who are coming in who are learning, like, not just the medical model of care, but the holistic model of care, the way that we are trained and what we know. So listening is the very first thing, because we all have our way of doing things. We all have our biases. We all have our prejudices, right? Just as human beings. But knowing and understanding that, like you said, everybody has their story. Everybody has a reason for feeling the way that they feel. And so listening and not being dismissive of it. And so that's one thing that I always try to do. Whereas I say, yes, you can totally be completely over this fear and over this anxiety, and it doesn't have to trigger you, but I'm not dismissive of what you've gone through to necessarily feel the way that you feel. Like, I get it. Like, this, something really happened, or maybe something didn't happen, because, you know, especially during this last year and a half, you can watch the news and you have a new mental disorder just because of, you know, the stuff that we're hearing is, you know, I know lots of people have had new things happen, like panic attacks and kind of obsessive compulsive disorder start to develop, and lots of things that happen simply because we're watching the news, we're watching what's going on. We have no clue what's up. And especially birthing mothers who have to go into hospitals. And so, you know, it's not that there's not something out there that you don't really know a whole lot about. And all you're hearing is people are dying. This is bad. People are dying. This is bad. This is bad. And people are dying. Listening to people, understanding where they're coming from, and being able to offer real solvable things. Because yes, we can empathize. Absolutely. Sometimes people, you know, all they want is a listening ear, and that's great, but offer solutions and make sure that the solution works for that person. Everybody doesn't have access to everything. If you are speaking with a client and, you know, for instance, they have 3 or 4 children already and they're pregnant, and, you know, maybe they're working with low income, you can't necessarily tell them to take a spa day. to relieve stress. You can't necessarily do that. If somebody, because I've worked with clients who they're the only person in their family who lives in this area. They, all their other family is back east or in other countries or wherever they are. I need a babysitter. They have four children. I can't just go and you have four under five trying to go and take vacations or whatever, what have you. Being empathetic to what somebody's situation is, being able to offer solutions based on that. That takes work. It takes availing yourself to learning new things, learning other techniques, and to be able to give to your clients. And that also means sometimes trying stuff out yourself. That also means making yourself the guinea pig.
which we have to do sometimes, because
yes,
this is our work and we need to truly
absolutely
understand it. And it's kind of an underlying theme that has continually come up. Like, we are, our experiences really often shape the way that we do this work. And often many of us are doing this work because of our experiences, because we're
absolutely
here trying to make the world a better place. And so I really resonate with everything that you're sharing here. Hey, Mama, is this episode resonating with you? We certainly hope so. If you are loving what you're hearing, please take a quick second to leave a review for this podcast. It truly means the world to me and my team. Thanks. And I want to say too, there was a study, and I don't know if it's the same study that you're mentioning. It might actually be the same study that you mentioned earlier, but there was a study done that was talking about trauma in the birth room, mm-hmm, and how when women were given the autonomy, when they were able to make the decision for themselves or felt like they had a say in the decision and felt supported and mm-hmm in the experience, even if it was something that she didn't want, right? And, you know, maybe she was adamant about having, you know, a vaginal birth and not having a cesarean, but something happened in the birth room, whatever the case may be. And as long as she was presented with the option or presented with, hey, we think this is going on and this might be your next best move. Like, mm-hmm, how are you feeling about this, right? That was everything. And that was the differentiating factor between somebody who viewed their birth experience as traumatic versus someone who said, well, it wasn't exactly what I expected, but I felt wholly supported in everything that happened.
Absolutely. And that was the study that I was
referring to. I'm not surprised. I'm so glad. We're totally on the same page.
That is, and what people don't understand is that, you know, having something just kind of shoved in your face, one is scary, right? So if you're giving birth and a bunch of doctors walk in your room, first of all, red flag, right? What is happening? If there were just like the nurses were coming in and they were introducing themselves and, hi, I'm just, you know, so-and-so is on break and I'm just taking over for her. I'm just going to do this charting real quick. And, you know, everybody's kind of casual to five doctors walk into your room and everybody has a serious face and everybody, and then they're like, your baby's heart rate is dropping and we're going to probably start prepping you for a cesarean. And it's just like, whoa, wait, what? The first thing I'm thinking, my baby's going to die. Their heart rate, because your heart is what keeps you alive, right? That's literally the only thing they can monitor of the baby while the baby's inside of you. So you're like, what? Not only is that scary, but when you have that, when you get that sort of fear and that anxiety kind of thrust upon you like that, it keeps you from being able to make sound decisions. It keeps you from being able to say, I want this or I want that. Because then at that point, that's why I have so many clients that have come to me, you know, wanting to have a VBAC. And when I ask them, okay, well, tell me about your previous, you know, birth experience. Well, you know, I came into the hospital and they said something was wrong with the baby. So I had an emergency C-section. You had an emergency? Okay. Well, tell me about how they cut you. Tell me about, like, were you given anesthesia? Did they have to put you under? And they were like, she was like, no, I got the epidural. And I was like, okay, that's not an emergency. Like, and that is that sort of thing that's like, when you give people the opportunity, when you really are explaining to them what's going on. And I understand as a doctor, you're thinking, I don't care if it's a 1% chance or a 90% chance. The fact that there is a chance, I want to do what is the most efficient that has the less amount of risk for me. Not necessarily thinking about your patient, you know, because really, I'm just going to numb you up and cut and sew you back up and done.
Or the long-term effects of what
are, does of a major trauma. Surgery.
Yes.
Of a or, major
or trauma,
surgery.
Or how that plays out in her postpartum experience, how that shapes her child's yes. life, how that shapes her motherhood experience, the way she bonds. So many different components that are not being spoken about.
That are not being discussed.
Yeah.
That are not even being taken into account. Because as the person who is trained to do surgery, your thought is, I just need to, the person, patient A and patient B being the baby, get everything done so nobody bleeds out or dies or, you know, whatever the case might be, even though she probably had more of a choice. She probably had more of a choice. And you know she has more of a choice. You know she does.
Yeah.
Like you said, that there's a difference between coming in and this is what we have to do versus, you know, this is probably going to be the best thing for you and for baby. I'm going to give you a moment to discuss it with your support person. That, I mean, literally, and usually they are on board. And that's what I really want to emphasize to OBs, that usually they will be on board with whatever your plan is. They just want to have a moment to be able to make the decision, because these are mothers. These are moms. What mom doesn't want the best for their baby?
Of course. Yeah.
Even, unfortunately, to the detriment of ourselves.
Yes.
Which is why I'm glad everyone who's watching this, thank you for registering for this, because don't sacrifice yourself at the altar.
Our children do not want us to be martyrs.
No, they don't. They don't. They want you here and they want you well.
Yes. I'm so glad that you said that. So let's shift the conversation a little bit, because so much of what we've talked about is the fear and the true desires and all of that in terms of labor and birth. And what about postpartum? Let's look at this. Let's say that we had a really difficult pregnancy experience or birth experience, and our client is struggling immensely with something that happened in the labor room and it's lingering, right? We know the trauma that lingers. How can we connect them in with healing, with their true desires, and kind of reset that nervous system mm-hmm. so that they're not operating in a place of trauma and fear?
Well, one, we have to have them not relive, but kind of rehash and acknowledge the fact that they are not happy with what happened, right? Because you will, by and large, if you see a mom and you know that her birth experience was crazy, like crazy, and you ask her about her birth experience, and what her answer 9 times out of 10 is going to be, I'm just glad the baby is happy. You know, it wasn't what I wanted, but the baby's healthy, and that's all that matters. And so the first thing is to get them to acknowledge, is that all that matters? How do you really feel about this? Let's talk about that. And then there are many things that you can do to kind of reconnect them, because sometimes what happens is like that is going to affect the way they bond with their baby. It's going to affect the way they heal afterwards. It's going to affect the way they take care of themselves. It's going to affect their relationship with their partner. It literally affects everything, because we can have all types of things happen. We have depression and anxiety and all types of things that are happening. So we want to make sure that we are making sure that one, she doesn't need bigger help, right? Therapy, psychiatric help or anything like that. So we want to make sure that that's not going on. And then listening, what can I do to help this mama? So helping to pamper her postpartum, helping to make sure she is nourished and nurtured. Food is huge. Food is big. Food is big. If you can get her good, warm, nourishing food, whether you cook it or you help her to put together a meal train of her friends and family, if you are doing that, having people come over to clean up, if you come over and clean, especially if you're a postpartum doula. I worked as a postpartum doula for a lot of the years that I've been a doula. So I've done cleaning and bottle washing and holding baby while mama is in the shower and cooking food or meal prep or whatever you can do. And then there's the spiritual and emotional aspect where one, you're being a shoulder and you're being an ear. But also what maybe cultural things, what traditional things can you do to help to reconnect her to that birth? One thing that there's like a ceremony that I learned for mothers who have been through more traumatic birth experiences where they kind of recreate the birth in the way that they wanted it to happen. And usually it's in the bath with healing herbs in the bath with her and baby. And she kind of just goes through in the same number of hours that it took her to have the baby and, you know, and just take her time and set up the bathroom or the room or whatever in the same way that she envisioned it, that she wanted it to happen in the first place. And we just kind of create that and rewrite the story because, you know, we work with mindset because your mind is just an amazing, amazing tool. It shouldn't be your master. It is a tool. And this tool, your imagination can literally shift anything. So if you decide, you know, I don't want to connect with this birth as being traumatic, I want to rewrite it, then you do that, mama, and you can rewrite the story and you can take your baby and y'all can lay in the bed together and you can just recreate the whole thing. And I go through that ceremony with some of my clients. I don't like to give the whole thing out because, you know, it's a whole special thing. And it also depends on the mother and what they want and what their wishes are. So
And I will tell you, if you've not heard of this kind of ceremony before, if you're listening into this and you're thinking, what in the world, get with Monique, because I will tell you, I've known many people who've done this. I have performed this ceremony before, and it might sound funny.
It's powerful.
It is the most powerful thing.
It is powerful.
I don't know of a woman who doesn't walk away in tears. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen. So I highly respect that ceremony. And I'm so glad that you are offering that to the women that you serve. Monique, tell us, what is the one thing that you wish every birth and postpartum professional knew?
Everything we've been taught is not how it is. And we don't have to go into relationship with our clients believing that. So birth, postpartum, pregnancy, all that. And I know a lot of amazing professionals and we don't necessarily believe this, but everything is not how they say it is. We don't have to have our clients on guard when they go into hospitals, and we don't have to have them on guard about postpartum and about how it's gonna be. We can treat things like they're going to be normal. We can treat things like they're going to be good, like they're going to be joyful. And if they are not, we can deal with it then. But we don't have to bring fear into the relationship in any way. And that doesn't mean not preparing your client, not giving them the information, not that at all. But there are ways that you can do that and still have them come from that innate, inalienable place of power that they have, because we don't empower them. I can't give you any power. All the power is yours. Also that, like, you don't give your client any power. Like, all the power is theirs. You just kind of remind them that they have it.
This is absolutely gorgeous. Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you for having me, Miranda. I love this so much.
Where can everyone who is listening in find you?
So the best place to find me is on Instagram. I am at Monique the Doula.
Thank you so, so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in and taking the time to learn about how to support your body in deep healing. We don't do this work just for us or for you. Your healing impacts your children, your relationships, and your community. We do this work because the health and vibrancy of our world begins with its mothers. I hope you have taken some valuable information today and applied it to your own life. If you aren't sure where to begin, reach out about working together one-on-one, or at minimum, learning about my postpartum nutrition plan, which is where I start every single one of my clients. And you can do that by going to mirandabauer.com. Hope you enjoy this episode. Let us know by leaving a review, and we will see you next time.